is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I read from the Bloomberg report headline, cracks in U.S. economy start to show as recession warnings mount. And then a sense of humor. This is Rich Miller reporting. The late Nobel Prize winning economist Paul Samuelson once quipped that Wall Street had predicted 9 out of the last 5 recessions. I go to Jim McTague, longtime Washington editor at Barron's. Jim, you're old enough to remember all 9 recessions and the 5 that were recessions. Right now, I'm not looking for a prediction. I'm looking for an explanation for the, what you'd have to say, volatile is inadequate. The extreme confidence we all have that if the market's down today, it'll be up tomorrow. What's going on, Jim? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. It's really confusing because it's no mystery that we were going to have a recession. I mean, when you have the Fed talking for months and months and months about putting on the brakes and raising interest rates, they're telegraphing that they're going to strangle the economy. And of course, they were saying that they thought we could have a soft landing, which was a matter of debate, you know, that because the economy is so strong, they could take some of the wind out of the sails by raising operating costs, raising borrowing costs, and slow it down enough so that prices will fall, but unemployment won't increase too dramatically. But there was a large contingent that never swallowed that argument. And the bottom line is this recession should have already been priced into the stock market. So it's a mystery to me and a lot of traders on Wall Street as to why we saw so much drama this week. Why did we see the stocks plunge so deeply this week when everybody and their brother knew that there was a really good possibility that we're going to have a recession and it's going to be painful? It just does not make sense if you buy the theory that the market is efficient in processing information.
You have written a book about high frequency trading. I've been speaking with Brett Ahrens about one part of the machinations of Wall Street. That's the margin desk. But high frequency trading hasn't been part of the conversation recently. This is matters reaching back more than a dozen years, I think, to the flash crash of the first decade or the second decade of the 21st century. Are the high frequency trading machines that are, I picture them all lined up somewhere in the Meadowlands, are they active in this market, Jim?
Oh, they dominate the market. You know, the flash crash occurred in 2010, and the regulators at first denied that there was any such thing as high-speed robotic trading that could manipulate the stock markets. And it took 3 or 4 years to convince them otherwise. I'm talking to traders now, and they see mysterious things happening in the market. It's as strange as the tic-tac-shaped aircraft flying by our fighter jets. They see stock prices drifting higher and lower without explanation because there's no evidence of trading. The prices are moving up and down, and they have no idea why. They think it's the machines somehow are putting phantom prices out there to try to lure buyers or to hunt for people who want to buy a specific stock at a certain level and then front run them. So, and front running means, you know, buy up the stock before they get to it and then sell it to them at a higher price. So this really raises a question about liquidity. Liquidity in a market means that if you're going to sell your stock, you're going to have a buyer and vice versa. If you're going to buy, you're going to have a seller. If you have these machines creating phantom price levels, there's no assurance that there are buyers and sellers at those levels. So if we have a panic in the market, and this market is very prone to panic because we've never seen an economic situation like the one we have now, where we have runaway inflation, the Fed hasn't been aggressive enough so far, which means, you know, we're anticipating that they're going to have to be turned into the Boston Strangler when it comes to the economy and really take the air out of it. And we have this war in the Ukraine, which has a lot of possible negative outcomes that are very scary, with implications for the global economy. So investors are on pins and needles. They're prone at the slightest hint of bad news to run for the fire doors. And if this liquidity is fake, if there is no depth, I mean, we could have another crash like the flash crash where you see some stocks priced near zero. So it's a very confusing, frightening time to be an investor. Having said that, I think we're near a near-term bottom.
Right. I want to underline that you believe this is unprecedented. A pandemic, a war in Europe, the price of gasoline, the price of diesel, and then high-frequency trading. I love the idea of a ghost in the machine being a trader, Jim. That's very attractive to me. A robot with a sense of humor. So let's turn to not liquidity, but what we have right now is a very ugly market. It upsets everyone. In fact, it's so upsetting that Bloomberg is measuring that it might be a bear market, but we're not scared enough, Jim. You know, panic isn't adequate enough, okay? We have a panic meter being held on us. You have talked about how the second half of the year is likely to be equally iffy because it'll be a melt-up. Is that still possible, a melt-up, even though the Federal Reserve is promising half points from now till Christmas?
Yes. I mean, we could have a positive surprise. But what I see happening is, President Biden is very unpopular. He's blamed for the inflation. He's blamed for the recession. He's blamed for all our economic ills. And let me add, with good cause. So I think what will happen is that investors irrationally will see the Republican wave coming in the midterm elections. The Republicans will capture the Senate and the House. Investors will assume that that's great for business, and we'll see a meld-up.
Right.
And then after the election, reality will set in that, gee, maybe it isn't so good for the economy because you have a Democratic president with veto power. And I think we will have, because of that and because of COVID and the war and interest rates, the pessimism will reestablish itself after the election, and then we'll have the final wipeout. And my measure of a bottom, I call it the baby boomer indicator, is that when people my age, who have quite a bit of dough in their retirement accounts, suddenly feel impoverished, suddenly start saying, gee, I'm not going to go to that buffet at Cracker Barrel anymore because I can't afford the $11.99 or whatever it is. That'll be the bottom. But we're not quite there yet.
All right. To borrow an old expression, a recession is when my neighbor loses his job and a depression is when I do. So we'll update it, Jim. A recession is when my neighbor is no longer a millionaire and a depression is when I'm no longer a millionaire.
I love it. That's wonderful.
All right. Now, because of this, Jim, we just have a few seconds. Bear market, does it have significance that they are using the term routinely now, or is it just headline writing?
Well, no, it does have significance because we've gone by that barrier, you know, so, hey, it's real. 5 months of down market, and now we're in negative territory. So it's okay to feel bad and it's okay to cry.
Right. It's bearish. And it's appropriate, too, because the Russian bear is at the door. Jim McTague, longtime Washington editor, Barron's Magazine. I'm John Batchelor.